Good to see you. Hey. Hey, and if you didn't have enough bald people, I wanted to add to the collection. There's only a certain amount of perfect heads, and the Lord covered the rest of them up. So it's my spiritual gift this morning. But we've had quite a week. We got moved up here on Tuesday. Took 2 days to get here. We saw some of you Tuesday night, and we appreciate your help. And got to see the church in action. You guys got us unloaded quickly. And then my whole family proceeded to get sick. And so I think I told John that somebody's trying to poison us. Somebody that apparently, everybody that was here voted for us, but I feel like there's somebody that maybe wasn't sure and you changed your mind. I don't know what happened. But hit Amy and the boys Wednesday and Thursday. It hit me Friday. And my tablet just died before service, apparently. So anyway, so I'm going old school with the laptop here. A little bigger than normal. So, but I always have a backup because I don't trust technology. So I always have a backup. The third backup's my phone, but that's really hard to preach off your phone. It's really tiny. But it's good to see you this morning. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, and we're going to jump into it soon. You know, here's the other thing I learned. On top of this week, there's a chance I got a speeding ticket Thursday in Sioux City. I'm not sure. Dadgummit, come on, guys. You're supposed to encourage me. So when the lights flash at you, that's probably bad news. Yeah. You know, it's like those construction zones, you know, Google saying the speed limit's 65, and you don't see the sign when you're going by that said 50. So here's the question. If I change my plates soon, will they track me down? And I just can't get caught ever again in Iowa. Maybe, anyway, so if I call one of you from jail, you know what it's for. It's just the speeding ticket. Okay, but we'll see if that happens. And apparently I live so far out in the country, internet is impossible and unheard of out there. So, and by the country, I mean maybe a quarter of a mile north of 50. I don't know. So we're here. It's too late to change your mind, so you're stuck with us. But what I want to do this morning is I want to continue, really. If you were here the Sunday we tried out, okay, we were candidates, and I want to continue sort of along the theme that I started called Time to Move. So if you were here, remember that, you can pretend you're like, oh yeah, that was amazing, I remember. Yeah, thank you, God bless you, three people, excited, all right, that's good. Babe, I told you something was squirrely and vermilion. Anyway, but, so we're going to continue this series, Time to Move, but I want to remind you, this is something we tried, and I don't know if some of you thought I was joking or not. Some weeks we had videos with the text number, some of you figured it out. Okay, some of you text me like you were sending a letter to a long-lost friend. Okay, I love you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. But here's a number I'm putting up. This is a Cornerstone Connect line. We're going to use it at different times in different ways, but 605-215-5150. There will be times when we actually teach in service that we will be able to respond in real time to you, okay? Now, that's not going to be every week because that is hard to pull off, and that requires more than one person up here. Okay, Amy and I have done this several times. We have a lot of fun doing that, but it does require a team of people up here because it's too hard for me to check messages and speak and stay on track at the same time. But what I want to do is I want to offer you a way to interact with the message even if you get a delayed response, okay? So take this number, write it down, save it in your phone. If you have a question or comment about the message, we will answer as many as possible. That could be directly. We may post it on Facebook, may post it on a webpage as we kind of get it updated. The process may change, but we will do our best. We want to create a way where you can interact with us as we interact with the Word of God on Sunday mornings. And because I don't want this part of the service just to be a passive thing, okay? Every other part in your life, and we're in a college town. We're used to interacting in real time on our phones, and I'm telling you that may be new to some of you, but it's 2019. If we don't figure it out, somebody else is. I promise you, okay? And so it'll be very subtle, okay? And if you don't want to participate, you'll never even know, okay? That's fine. But some of you may be in the middle like, hey, I wonder what the pastor meant by that. Maybe I didn't explain something very well. Maybe you think I went a little bit squirrely or whatever, okay? Your squirrels are red here, by the way. You guys notice that? You guys notice your squirrels? See, that's good. You guys are noticing stuff. That's good. Just making sure. So I guess we are around more gray squirrel variety. So I'm sorry. I've got a lot of random thoughts this week. So just buckle up, okay? You can have like two notes, like random thoughts, and then the message, and we'll be okay. But anyway, 605-215-5150, and we'll develop that more as we go along. So I think it was about 6 weeks ago, We were here, we talked about being time to move. We believe that the Lord has a plan for Cornerstone. Okay, we started in Deuteronomy chapter 1. In the next several weeks, we're going to be in the first several chapters of Deuteronomy. But I just want to kind of remind you of where we started, and I'm not going to re-preach the same message. Okay, but in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8, there were some phrases that we emphasized. Okay, Moses was relaying a story that had already happened to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy is really a retelling of the law. And this was during a time of transition when Moses was preparing to hand over leadership to Joshua. And Moses is speaking, and he's relaying what the Lord told him. The Lord says, "You've stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp, advance, and take possession of the land." Okay, and that's what we focused on several weeks ago. And so I want to move beyond that, but I just wanted to remind you of our starting point. Israel had been told to move. Like, listen, it's time to move. You've got something to do. You've got a very clear mission, and it's time to move. And these are the steps that the Lord had given them. You've got to break camp, advance, and take possession of the land. And so as we move forward, we're going to begin to look at the next thing that had happened there, the next thing that Moses begins to tell the Israelites. But I've got a question that I want to ask you before we get started. Okay, get your minds going, okay? That way, are you guys ready to think this morning, or are you all chilled out after worship? You didn't have enough coffee? Feel free to respond on your own time. I got all day. All right, you guys ready? Okay, Matt, help me out back there, the back row people. Come on now. All right, here's a question. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by life and wished you had some help? Anyone? Okay, and everybody else is lying this morning. That'll be next week's message, okay? We'll talk about that next week. God bless you. Thank you for giving me something to talk about. Yeah, I'm sure there's times in all of our lives we feel a little bit overwhelmed, and we wish we had somebody to help us out. And we don't often think of great men and women of God having these moments, do we? You ever have somebody in your life, or can you think of somebody now, you think, man, they are so spiritual, they're always peppy, they're always up, okay? They never have a bad day. Do you know anybody like that? It almost makes you sick to your stomach. I can't stand to be around the people. You know, Michelle knows the people, all right? And for me right now, it is all caffeine and sugar. I've been up since 4 a.m., okay? Sunday mornings have a special place in my week. I wake up, I can't go back to sleep, ready to go on Sundays. But we have those people, but believe me, they have those moments, all right? We may not realize, even great men, I think of men of God, I think of Elijah. You guys remember when Elijah had his little pity party? Okay? If you serve the Lord and you're familiar with the prophets in the Old Testament, Elijah had a little pity party. Lord, I'm the only one left. God says, no, you're not. All right? Moses had a similar experience. Okay, maybe not as extreme as Elijah, but he had his own experiences. As we continue here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you can have it open there. We're going to look at this, and we're going to look at what he did and what it means for us today, what it means for us as believers and as Cornerstone Church. And so I'm going to pray before we go any further. Pray that the Lord would just help me to speak what he wants me to speak, and that God's word would bless us this morning. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Lord, no matter what has led up to this day, none of us are here by accident. And Lord, we are here because we believe in you, or we are seeking you. But God, whatever the case, you want to do something in our lives this morning. So I just pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you want to do in our lives this morning, that you would help me to say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, as a church, that we would pursue you wholeheartedly together and to be open to what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we discuss moving together, which is kind of the subtitle of the message, it's time to move, but it's time to move together. All right? As we look at moving together, the first thing that we have got to do, and we see that Moses learned this lesson, we have got to share the load. Now, I will tell you, Tuesday night, unloading our truck was a whole lot faster than loading our truck. And I know some of that's the nature of the unloading. We had a lot of people. We got it done really, really quickly, but I don't know, about an hour and a half. I believe Sunday afternoon, I was loading from about 3:30 to 10:30, and we did have some help, okay? But as we move together as a church, we've got to learn to share the load. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9. Moses is speaking. He says, "At that time I said to you, 'You are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. The Lord your God has increased your numbers so that today you are as numerous as the stars in the sky. May the Lord God, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised. But how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself?'" And so here's Moses, this great man of God, this giant of the faith, coming to a place where he realized, I can't do this all by myself. He came to the end of his leadership capacity. He came to the end of himself and realized, man, there's something has to change. It's too big of a burden to carry on my own. And there was a recognition of his limits. You want to know how to wear me out as your pastor, as your new pastor? Expect me to solve every one of your problems every single time, no matter what happens. Okay? All right. Now this is a game I like to play sometimes, what I'm not saying. Okay, because sometimes we take the opposite of what I said, which is almost always never true either. That doesn't mean that I will never be there for you. Do you understand the difference between never and always? Somewhere in the middle is the truth. Do we understand that? Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. And our new pastor said he would never be there for us. He said something about Moses and everything. Okay, so make sure we're on the same page, all right? Listen, there's a great weight and burden that comes with leadership. Some of you are leaders in your workplace, your leadership, you understand that. And this is not the top of your testimony, but there is a greater weight that comes with spiritual leadership that you can't even explain if you've never been there. I will tell you, when I moved from a youth pastor to a lead pastor, there was something, it was supernatural, but it felt physical, that comes on you when you lead spiritually, when you're responsible, not just for part of the church, but the entire church. Okay? When you realize that you will stand before God someday and go, God, this is what I did for your people during this time, that is a huge thing. All right? But even Moses, as great as he was, he reached a limit of what he could do, right? Even the most talented, most spiritual people, there's a capacity to their leadership and what they're able to do. And I find it interesting here in Deuteronomy, since it is a repetition of some things that have already happened, that he was divinely inspired to write this, because chronologically it's not even necessarily in order. And so I find it interesting that the Lord inspired him to insert this lesson here. Okay, so let's go back to Exodus chapter 18, where this story took place. All right, Moses got a visit from his father-in-law Jethro. Jethro sounds like he's from the deep south, doesn't he? Let's be honest. Sounds like that. All right. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. Let's start there. It says, "The next day Moses took a seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge, and why all these people stand around you from morning till evening?' Well, Moses answered him, 'Well, because the people come, they come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions.' Moses' father-in-law replied, 'What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times. Have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied.'" Okay? So that's the story when it happened in real time. That's the story when it happened chronologically. And Moses repeats that lesson that he learned in Deuteronomy. And I find that very interesting, that as he's reminding the people that, you know, at one point God told us to move and go forward, and then this is the very next thing that he reminds them of. And he's going to remind them of several things that we'll go over the next several weeks, but this is really the first thing that he's reminding them of. That, listen, there's only so much I, Moses, the prophet of God, can do. All right? When leaders reach the end of their capacity, others are needed to step up and share the load. Leaders lead, but leaders also need to raise up other leaders. And when others rise to lead, people are satisfied. Did you see that in Exodus chapter 18? It says the people went home satisfied. I'll tell you, when they don't go home satisfied, as if they would have thought Moses could have handled everything for themselves, because there's a limit to what he could do. Okay? People are satisfied when leadership is shared, and there's less likely to be a leadership gap or deficiency. How many are inspired this morning? You're like, hey, I didn't think you'd talk about this first Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You know, interestingly enough, this pattern repeats itself in the New Testament. Okay, let's turn to the book of Acts. In the New Testament, this repeats itself. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the day of Pentecost, the early church began to explode, and they see themselves in the same situation. Just as Israel had begun to grow and develop as a nation and as a people, the early church in the New Testament began to grow and began to multiply. Scripture even says that their number was added to daily. Well, you guys wouldn't know what to do if Cornerstone grew every day, would you? Oh, we don't know what to do. It would be scrambling, okay? Be constant change. Some of you wouldn't get to sit in your seat that you probably got your name written on underneath it. I don't know them yet, but I'm watching. Believe me, I'm watching. I'm going to figure it out. Okay? I moved a few seats this morning, so you may not be sitting in the same green seat that you did last week. No, it's a true story. You can ask Jody. I moved some seats this morning. All right? So you may just think that's your seat, but it's not. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Are you guys aware sometimes there's conflict in the church? You guys didn't know that, did you? No, sir, let me clue you. Sometimes there's conflict in the church. You know why? You guys are brave, like I'm going to tell you something really earth-shattering. Okay, hurry, write it down. Why? Because there are people in the church. Even forgiven people are not perfect people. All right? So I just want to make sure our expectations are all in the in order. Okay? Hopefully we're growing. Hopefully we're becoming more like Jesus every day. But even forgiven people are not perfect people. So there are conflicts in the church. Hopefully we don't keep having the same conflicts. Okay? But right here, now we've got a food problem. We've got a food distribution problem. It's not quite meals on wheels, but maybe it's meals in wagons. I don't know what this is, but there's a conflict. Verse 2 says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Look what happened here. It says, this proposal pleased the whole group. So I'm seeing a pattern here that when leadership is divided, that when responsibilities are split up, people end up pleased. Do you guys see that? I love finding patterns in Scripture, and this is one here. And it wasn't that this work was beneath the apostles. It wasn't that they were too important or too gifted to settle the widow's disputes about the food. Okay, it wasn't that it was beneath them. It was just there were things that they were uniquely gifted and qualified and called to do and created to do, and other people could take care of this. All right? There are things that you are gifted at and called to do that I just am not. All right? There's things that I'm gifted at that maybe you're not. Okay? And there's different levels of gifting. All right? If you're called to be pastor, that's too bad. I just got here. Okay? So we will have to work that out some other time. But we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And we see this in the early church, that when the leaders were able to raise up other leaders, people were satisfied, problems were taken care of, obstacles were overcome. So here's the question. What would have happened if Moses had never selected those leaders? What if Jethro had never shown up and says, Moses, man, you gotta think about doing this a little bit different. What would happen to Israel? We don't know. I mean, we could speculate, it'd just be a guess. We don't know. Maybe his leadership would have been short-circuited. Maybe somehow Israel wouldn't have been what they were. What would happen in the early church if the apostles were distracted by the widow's food disputes? And they spent more time taking care of that than spreading the gospel and preaching and raising up other leaders. Listen, we don't know, but I promise you it wouldn't be good, or wouldn't it turned out like it did. And maybe it still would have been good, but maybe they would have sacrificed great just to maintain the good. We don't know. But we see that when leadership is shared and responsibility is shared, the people go home pleased. The church continues to grow. God's mission continues. And so what happens if church people are only consumers and not contributors? We're not just talking money. Listen, I've met people that would rather write a check than show up and serve in a church. You can give large amounts of money to a church and be lazy. And good news is, I don't really know any of you yet and know what anybody gives. So listen, this is all, if that's you, I have no idea. So you can be mad at me a year from now if I repeat it. I don't know. But right now, I'm shooting in the dark. You know, I've seen people willingly give other time, but you're like, you know what? God has no business with my money, forgetting who gifted them to get that money in the first place. So I've seen it on both ends. So this is not an either-or thing. Are we contributors or are we consumers? Is this a product that we consume, or is this something that we are a part of? And so what would happen, Cornerstone, if there were nobody here that would be willing to help? Jody, go ahead and play that video. Maybe it looks like this. You know, maybe it looks something like that. None of us are Pete. Well, who knows? Could be Pete. You know, and I'm going to be honest, I struggle with this message a little bit, and I'm not done. Because I was telling him, he's like, I don't want it to feel just like a recruiting ploy, but it was the next thing in the passage of Deuteronomy, so let's just blame Scripture. But it needs to happen. So this is a little bit like our first service, a little bit like a doing a little family business here. But listen, Cornerstone, we need you to step up. And typically what happens in the church is you get about 20% of the people doing 80% of things. And I know some of you are very involved doing a lot of different things. Jody's in another month. Jody will have been on the soundboard for about 10 years. He's cutting donuts this morning. He said, Jody, why are you doing that? He says, nobody else doing it. I said, you shouldn't be cutting donuts. It's not that donuts are below Jody. It's just he's cutting the grass. He's doing a bunch of different things. And many of you, no matter the department that you've served in, whether it's worship, some of you help on Sunday, some of you help worship on Wednesday night with Pastor Sarah. No matter what you're doing, some of you are doing several things in several different areas. And Cornerstone, it's time to step up. Listen, I know I haven't been here the last couple years. I know the last year and a half has not been easy, okay? But it's time to turn the page. It's time to move, okay? It's time to move on. And it's time for people to step up. And so, listen, maybe it doesn't look like the video, okay? But what if a mom comes in church and she needs Jesus and she just needs a break from her kid, but there's nobody in nursery, there's no kids ministry, okay? What happens then? Or a couple that's struggling and they need to sit and they need to be in service together. And they just need a break. What happens then? I mean, we can watch a funny video, but church, it's time that people step up and people be willing to serve. And listen, some of you have served faithfully here to the point of exhaustion. And I know I don't know all of you, so forgive me if I don't know you and your story and your name, okay? But it's time for others to step up and share the load. And so I want to challenge you this morning to be a contributor and not just be a consumer. Because even though Moses realized he had to share the load, there was something else that had to happen with the individuals, okay? They had to know what their role was, okay? It's very important that you know your role. It's one thing to know, hey, we've got to share the load around here. It's another thing to go, okay, I need to know what my role is, okay? Because if you are not in the role that you need to be, things won't go well for you, okay? It doesn't mean to be a train wreck. It's just you won't be blessed like you should be blessed. The church won't be blessed like it should be blessed. Listen, if you're a grumpy Gus, do we have any grumpy Gusses? I don't want you. There's a place for you, but it's probably not the front door. Welcome to Cornerstone. You know what I mean? If you don't have the gift of hospitality, you know, you're probably not the first face that needs to be seen. We visited a friend's church several years ago, and I'm telling you, it was great, and it was an older gentleman. And it wasn't that he's older, it's that he almost couldn't get the door open. And so I look at that and go, man, I appreciate the heart to serve. I mean, I was like, man, that's awesome, but your greeter needs to be able to open the door. I mean, it was just like, oh my goodness. It was nuts. But know your role. I'm going to ask Pastor Sarah and Jake and Amy to help me out right now. Like I said, this is going to be a little bit different. And I was going to apologize about being different, but you know what? You get different a lot with me. So, like I said, you guys voted. It's too late. I'm going to have to pass out some forms. Now, and I want you to hang on to it. And over my next, I've just got 2 points. I'm getting ready to do my second one. Listen, if you feel like the Lord is speaking to you or you know what your role is, feel free to work on filling this out. For some of you, you're already serving. Please fill this out anyway because I don't know anybody, remember? Okay? Pretend I'm brand new. And if you need to think about it, feel free to bring it back to me next week, but I would like to get as many this week as I could. And listen, if you're willing to serve and you don't know where that would be, listen, we will find a place for you. Surely you can cut donuts, right? We'll let our grumpy Gus's cut donuts all day long. The donuts won't care. And so I'm going to continue here, okay? So once there's this recognition that we need to share the load, listen, you've got to know your role. And we'll get into why this is so important in just a minute. But I want you guys to turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read some passages that may be familiar to many of you. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, each has a special function. You guys on board so far? I want to make sure I didn't lose you. You guys realize your arm's got a different function than your leg. Okay? Scripture is teaching us something very, very plain here, but it's very powerful, and sometimes I think we forget it, right? So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of His body. The Bible calls it the body of Christ. Why? Because that's a picture of how we are to function. We're all different parts. Just as we have different parts, we're all different parts of the body. Okay? And you're a vital part of the body. You're a vital part of the local expression of the global body of Christ. And right now, that is Cornerstone Church because you are here. This body is a part of the larger body. Paul writes about that in his letter to the Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 14. It said, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, I love this part of the passage because sometimes I think we're in denial about maybe how important we are to the body of Christ. And I love that Paul directly here addresses people being in denial. You may think that you're not important to this body. You may not think you're not important to the body of Christ. I'm here to tell you, you're just flat out in denial. Well, Jason, that's awfully bold. Well, I'm just repeating what Paul wrote. It's pretty clear. A nose, an ear, an eye, a hand, an arm can be in denial all day long, but you're still in denial. So what does that mean to the church? That means if you're supposed to be a leg and you're not serving your part, that means as Cornerstone Church, we're hopping on one leg as a church and we're not being as effective as we could be. oh, we're missing a hand or an arm or an ear or nose. That means we are handicapped as a church because you're not taking your place. Know your role. Know what your role is in the body of Christ. Let's continue, verse 18. It says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. There are no unimportant parts to the body. There are no unimportant parts here. There are no unimportant people at Cornerstone Church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a part to play in this church. You were never meant to just come and sit and soak. Okay? I'm not trying to upset anybody. I'm not trying to run anybody off my first Sunday. Lose half the crowd. That's something Jesus did sometimes. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to see from Scripture that we need everyone. There are no small roles. Okay? You may feel unimportant, you may feel unnoticed, but you're not less important. Paul describes here the unpresentable parts being treated with special honor. Listen, if you've served behind the scenes for years and nobody's seen you, maybe you're not up front here. Listen, that doesn't mean you do less honor. That doesn't mean that you don't have a reward from the Lord, that he's not going to bless you for serving. See? You may clean, you may organize, you may do stuff that nobody sees, but that doesn't mean it's less important. It may seem less glamorous, maybe, in a human sense, but it's not any less important. And God doesn't view it as any less important. All right? Verse 26. And this is how it should work, church. This is how it should look. It said, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are a body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I think if we all understood that we have an important role to play in the church, it would be easy for us to be happy for other people when they are honored, instead of thinking, well, what about me? Which often reveals our heart. If our first instinct is, what about me, that means you're more likely a consumer than really a contributor. Our role is to be faithful to the role that God has called us to and created us for. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he's created us for. And that's the role that we are to play. And what a beautiful picture of the church. And many times in tragedy, we see the church raise up. I love it to see the church rise up in the midst of tragedy. The church comes together. Several years ago, we had a horrible tornado in Joplin. The church came together. I know you had one in Sioux Falls recently. Maybe it's hurricanes, churches and Christian nonprofits flood the scene, and the church really rises up and supports each other. Often in a church, maybe a death of a loved one, we see the church really rally together, or the birth of a child, meals are provided. We see the church step up. We saw it with our family on Tuesday night, moving us in. It may have been a little thing to you or a little bit of your time, but it was a huge thing to us. And if you weren't there, I forgive you. I'm just kidding. I did write down names. Oh. But listen, church, it's never about us as a church. And when it becomes about us, our priorities change. We view obstacles different. We get more upset at things that truly don't matter to the gospel. Okay, but when we recognize that as a part of the body, we belong to each other. That's what it says in Scripture. We belong to each other. We have a responsibility to each other. It's about ministering to each other and to our community. When Moses was relating this to Israel, they had a very clear mission of what they were to do. It was very clear. The early church, it was very clear. Jesus had told them, you need to go and make disciples of all nations. It was very clear. And that's the same mission we have today, church, because that commission has not changed. We are called to go into this community and reach people for Jesus Christ and make disciples. But it takes all of us doing our part, even if it seems unglamorous. It's about standing together and being what God has created us to be. The last verse we read today is Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, there's something powerful that happens when we come together, when we stand together as a church. When it's not just a bunch of random individuals gathering together in one place on a Sunday morning, doing our thing and then leaving. But when we recognize that Sunday morning should be about more than us, it should be about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it should be about growing disciples, that this should be a launching point for our week. And church, my dream would be that at a certain point there's more ministry happens after Sunday than on Sunday. Then that means we're growing as disciples, we're living as disciples. Whether it's in your workplace, in your neighborhoods, in the schools, the public schools, in the university. Listen, if we're impacting people for the gospel of Jesus Christ outside of here, then that means we're doing what we need to here. And Sundays are almost always the focal point of the church, and rightly so, but it's not the only thing that we do, and it should be the launching point for the rest of the week. It doesn't need to stay here. Julie, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and come up and play as we close up here. You know, just as it was important for Moses and the Israelites and also the early church to recognize their need to share the load and for each one of them to know what their role was, it's important for us to know that as a church as well. Listen, young or old, it doesn't matter. Listen, some of you teenagers, you probably learn a computer better than, let's say, non-teenagers. See, look at me. I'm practicing graciousness. There you go. I'm getting better. But everybody can help. Everybody can be hospitable in their own way, whether it's behind the scenes or up front. A lot of you men know how to mow the grass. I'm sure you're not the only ones. So whatever it is, listen, there is plenty here to do. And as we go forward, as God has called us to move, there's going to be plenty more to do. Listen, church, I promise you, we are not going to stay where we're at. And I would rather all of you come along with us. I don't know how to deal with elephants in the room other than just calling them out. Listen, we've had people bail already because it's been hard. And my job is not to judge them. That's not my job. That's not what I'm trying to do. But listen, let's go forward together. And it's going to take all of us. But it can be done. It's going to take all of us. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, my question to you is, are you filling your role? Do you know your role? Or are you in denial or just simply refusing to be a part of the body? And sometimes roles change, and that's okay too. Listen, if you're an unbeliever, I want to go back to the question I asked before. Like, do you ever feel like you're alone and you just wish you had help? Listen, if you're not a follower of Christ, life is hard, especially without Him, because you were created to know Him. And until you do, you will not experience life like you were meant to. We are all separated from our Creator by our sin, all of us. But I promise you, if you give your life to Him and trust in Him, He will come near to you, He will forgive you, He will change you. and you'll enter into a relationship with your Creator. And so whether you're a follower of Jesus or an unbeliever, listen, God wants to do something in your life this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads before we go forward with the rest of the service. If you're here this morning, I just want to quickly ask, maybe you've been attending this church for a long time, maybe you're a more recent attendee. And I know this message was really speaking to church people this morning, but if you're sitting here and you're listening, you say, you know what, I do not have a relationship with my Creator. I do not know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Listen, I would love to have someone pray with you and talk with you. That's you. I just want you to lift your hand real quick. I'd love to get together and talk and pray with you. Anyone here say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. If you're here and you'd say, you know what, Jason, I'm a follower of Jesus. But I was challenged this morning to step up and serve. I was challenged this morning to step up and find my place and take my place. If that's you, I just want you to acknowledge that real quickly with an upraised hand. If you've been challenged this morning, anyone else? Just want to see it. I'm going to pray for you. Anyone else? Come on, I know there's more than that. Don't be shy. Anyone else? Okay, anyone? Father, I pray that you would continue to solidify what I believe is happening here this morning. God, that there would be an awareness of our responsibility to your body, your church, and that you would continue to draw in those that are to serve here. God, I pray that you would draw in the prodigals. I pray you'd bring in those that have never stepped foot in this place. God, I pray that you would raise up new leaders. In Jesus' name.